Brian.
Missy, you are all set.
I'd like to start the January 12th Board of Selectmen's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get a roll call?
Stephanie.
Sue.
Gordon.
Pat. Brian is absent this evening. To start things off, we're gonna swear in our new fire chief, Mike Kelly, and that way his family can go home and they don't have to sit through this entire meeting. So,
where am I going?
Over by you.
Very formal.
Do you have to like?
You want to sit up there?
All right. I, state your name.
I, Michael Kelly.
Having been duly appointed fire chief of the Candia Fire Department.
Have been duly appointed chief of the Candia Fire Department.
Do solemnly swear that I will support and uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Say that again.
Do solemnly swear. That I will support and uphold.
That I will support and uphold.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws.
And the Constitution and laws.
Of the State of New Hampshire.
The State of New Hampshire.
That I will faithfully. Honestly.
Honestly.
And impartially discharge the duties.
And impartially discharge the duties.
Of fire chief to the best of my ability.
Of fire chief to the best of my ability.
That I will uphold and enforce the ordinances.
That I will uphold and enforce the ordinances.
Policies and procedures.
Policies and procedures.
Of the Candia and the mission.
The Candia Fire Department.
Okay, that's not in there. Goals and values of the Candia Fire Department.
And the mission and goals of the Candia Fire Department.
That I will promote and protect.
That I'll promote and protect.
The best interests of the department and the community.
The best interests of the department and the community.
Through fiscal responsibility.
Through fiscal responsibility.
Integrity and professionalism.
Integrity and professionalism.
That I will never allow personal feelings.
That I'll never allow personal feelings.
Nor danger to self.
Nor danger to self.
To deter me from my responsibilities.
To deter me from my responsibilities.
As fire chief, and that I recognize the badge of my office.
As fire chief, and I recognize the badge of my office.
As a symbol of public faith and trust.
As a symbol of public faith and trust.
That I will honor so long as I remain true to the ethics.
That I will honor as long as I remain true to the ethics.
And traditions of the fire service.
And traditions of the fire service.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Woohoo!
Congratulations. I had no practice on that.
That's
really good.
So now that we've made it through that, can we get a approval of the public minutes from December 15th?
Bye, John.
Bye, buddy.
Can I move the minutes from December 15th be accepted as presented?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
I'll abstain. I was absent.
Sue?
Boy.
Pat. All right, and start off with department reports. With Highway.
All right, so December was a pretty busy month, actually, winter-wise for us. We had four plowable storm events. We did 7 spreader runs, and we actually had 2 ice storms that were just longer duration spreader runs, more or less. We had to scrape. We did truck winter sand the stockpile. We did remove a couple storm-damaged trees that just happened because we did have a couple pretty high wind events, and the ice events kind of leads to a lot of hung up trees and things of that nature. And then just patching as needed. What I will say is December was definitely busiest December I remember as far as winter work is concerned, at least for the last, 8 to 10 years.
It's the coldest I can remember.
It was really cold, and right now we're kind of in a weird just time where, for whatever reason this year, at the end of December, when it's not when we don't have any precipitation, it's zero, and then the precipitation comes in and it rains for whatever reason. So just so everybody is aware, I just wanted to say in a public meeting, like, when you're on the roads this time of year, like, even if it's raining, even if the air temperature is above freezing, mm-hmm. the ground temperature this time of year, as cold as it's been, is going to dictate how slippery the roads are. Mm-hmm. Just because most of the time, with as much cold weather as we've had, even if you're 34, 35, even if you're close to 40, the ground temperature is much below freezing right now. I mean, we have more frost in the ground this year than we've had for a while. We got about 3 feet. So,
wow.
It is cold. It's been very, very cold. So anytime you have rain, just be careful on the roads, even if it's above freezing. Because it can catch, especially in cold spots.
Excellent. Any questions or anything for Jeff?
I'd like to get this party started. Could you tell me about the beaver deceivers? Why we're not using them?
So the beaver deceivers are incredibly expensive.
We bought several of them.
So we did two.
We bought two.
So
okay.
we have installed two a couple years ago.
Okay.
Probably 4 or 5 years ago. And what it cost me to install those two, I can do about a year's worth of trapping. And I can cover more area in town trapping than I can just with beaver deceivers. Like, if I was to install a beaver deceiver everywhere that we've trapped, I mean, the cost would be way higher than what we spend on the trapping. And the beaver deceivers are great, don't get me wrong, but they do come with a little bit of maintenance. And what ends up happening is when the beavers decide that they can't stop this spot up, they just go and pile on the next spot down the way. And it's just, that's why I kind of moved away from using those and we started trapping.
And then they asked me what you do with those and how much it is per beaver, or is it, I don't know, what to say.
Every single beaver that gets trapped, it gets made use of. So they all go to good use. I've said this before in a public meeting, and I want to say it again. All the beavers that get caught, it's not like they're getting thrown in a dumpster and going to landfill and not getting used. Every single beaver that gets caught, like, there are actually people in town that eat them. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of people in town that take their pelts. Mm-hmm. Because you can make a lot of really cool stuff out of the fur, actually. So every beaver that gets caught, it goes to good use.
So do you stockpile them down at the shed and say help yourself, or how do you?
No. So our trapper has contacts throughout town who, like, want them. Either they eat them or they want the pelts or, you know, things to that nature. And he kind of facilitates all that, where they go.
Okay. That's it.
And I do want to say, as far as the trapping is concerned, so over the last 4 or 5 years, as far as like culvert maintenance has gone from, especially in the wet seasons, it's a weekly thing that I have to go around and spend like a day per week almost cleaning out culverts, mm-hmm. cleaning grates. Like, that just, it doesn't happen anymore. Like, our culvert line in the budget now goes to actual culvert repairs instead of just like maintaining the flow, if that makes sense. So the funds actually get used in a much better way now than they ever had before.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Much appreciated. All right. Can we go on to the police department?
You want to, like, I have a lot to go over. I don't know if you want to.
Oh, do you want to wait?
You want to do the fire first? So he can wait. I mean, are you...
I'm going to stay, no.
Oh, for the whole meeting?
Well, he's got... There's multiple things for him to...
Oh, okay. All
right, so you want me to do... All right. So, December, we had a pretty busy month. I'm sure you saw the news.
Yeah.
A lot of accidents on 101. We ended the month with 72 calls.
Yikes.
50 of them were EMS and car accidents. We actually had 12 car accidents out of that, which is, we're pretty busy for that. That ends up being like 17% of our calls. Most of them are on 101. You can see the numbers there. We gave mutual aid 18 times.
Wow.
And that's both fire and EMS. And interesting, this year we found that our overlapping calls, so when one call's already going on and a second call comes in, it's been up. Last month it was 19%, but overall for the year we're about 34%. So, and happy to report that last year there was only three calls out of 662 that we were not able to staff an apparatus to get someone out. So, the times still remain the same. Overall for the year, we have 73 calls to the highway. And then personnel for last month, as you all know, Chief Young retired from his chief position as of 12/31 after 16 years as the chief. Ron Hanscom completed his Fire 1 and Fire 2 certification. Ed Domings completed his advanced DMT. Nate Letellier and actually Joseph O'Keefe completed their EMT training. Last month we were able to purchase six masks for our breathing apparatus, our SCBAs. We did order five sets of our PFAS-free gear, which is our first set of the chemical PFAS, which is no longer used to make the gear, which is a known carcinogen. We were able to order our first five sets last month as well, so they should be in the next few months. And we're transitioning all of our new gear to that. So you'll see that our fire gear will be black, our new fire gear, so that way we know which gear is PFAS free and which one's not.
Oh, excellent.
A lot of vehicle maintenance last month. So you're aware we have a mobile mechanic that comes to the station. The trained fire apparatus mechanic. He works for a much larger municipality, and then he has his own business on the side. So he comes to the station after hours and then on the weekends and works on our trucks. unfortunately, we need a lot of work. Last month, our tanker one had a turbo issue, which he was able to fix as best as he could, but he thinks it most likely will need to be replaced later this year. That's a couple $1,000 job. Squad 1 needed some transmission work, and then Engine 2 was found to have a leaf spring fault, which actually just got repaired today. And then some of our notable events from last month. We did have that flash freeze earlier in the month. We had four car accidents at the same time on 101, which involved, I want to say, about 20 cars. There were several transports to the hospital for that. Unfortunately, we had two very serious accidents the week of Christmas. I put that on there just because this is some of the things that our personnel are responding to daily. Very serious car accident. Both of them are seriously injured. One of them did pass away. So the providers have been through a lot this year with a lot of those sort of calls.
We have some form of equipment that not a lot of people have. It's some.
So we earlier this year, we were credentialed as what they call an RSI service.
Yeah.
So RSI is a medical procedure that maybe a couple dozen departments in the state have. It's kind of a rigorous process to get approved. But we were able to do that on both of these patients. So
that's great.
But to land on a on a happier note, we were able to do our Santa parade, which the town loved, and we were lucky enough to have the police department join us as well. Mm-hmm. Took us about 3 hours, but we made it around town and saw as many people as we could. I do have, I don't know if you want to wait, I have an issue with the fires at the station itself. Do you want a new business or after afterwards?
Let's have it right now.
Okay. On January 2nd, I was told that part of the heating system wasn't functioning. It was actually about 40 degrees where our bathrooms were.
Yep.
We were able to mitigate that in the meantime. Last week, I had someone come in to start figuring out what was wrong with that. And just like I think a car, you start working on one thing and you find something else. So they're coming back tomorrow to look at it a little bit further, but there was some components to the heating system that needed to be replaced. We're not entirely sure if there's going to be more after tomorrow's work that they're doing. One of the lines on the south side of the building was completely airlocked, so there was no heat getting to that area of the building. They flushed the lines. They put some cleaner in there. We have some really, really acidic water over there, so
yeah.
They put a cleaner in. They're hoping that that will improve some of that. They're going to try to do some cleaning on some of the devices over there as well. My question to the board is, I know there's been some talk for the safety complex and maybe re-looking at that, but in the meantime, I know that that's a ways out. What are your thoughts on the heating system and fixing that? Whether, because we have a couple options. He said we could try to limb some things along, or we can just fix it the way that it should be fixed. Obviously not knowing what the full scope of the issues are just yet. We do have the capital improvement or building infrastructure account, which has about $492,000 in there that we could utilize to at least fix some of the things we find. So I'm not sure what the direction of the board would be in terms of worst case scenario. Boiler needs to be replaced at $20,000. Is that something that we should be looking at, knowing that we're going to try to probably reinvestigate the safety complex for later down the road?
My personal thought on it is that it's not like this is going to be your last winter in there. There's still going to be a few more winters to go. And even beyond that, the building will hopefully still be used for something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like investing in the heating system is throwing money away.
Okay.
I think just repairing it would probably be more of a waste of money. So
okay.
I think, agree.
All right. So obviously I'll talk to Stephanie when I get more of an idea of what that looks like. But in the meantime, for fixing it, I just want to make sure that I have approval to use that fund to be able to fix some of those
items. Do you have any type of an estimate? You said boiler.
I don't. There's if it's the boiler, a boiler runs anywhere between $10,000 to $20,000.
Okay.
There's a gas valve that got stuck open the other day. That's about $1,000 just for the gas valve.
Okay.
So I don't have a full estimate yet because this is their third day tomorrow to sort of kind of get in there and pull things apart and look at it.
But you have funds to pay them so far before
yeah, they have not billed us. They have not billed
okay,
us yet, so we have
building
maintenance funds.
Okay.
But I feel like if it's going to be a bigger project to try to get it out of that.
Okay.
These are all legitimate capital reserve
yes, exactly.
expenses.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to make sure that it's approved by...
It's got a useful life for more than 5 years. Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise...
May I ask one more question? Who'd you get to do this? A company or...
So it's someone that actually worked on Concord Fires systems.
Okay.
So 2K Earth and something else, 2K Earth. They've done a lot of work around here. They actually came and worked on something last year, too. So.
All right.
Great. Any other questions?
Would that, we don't need more than one estimate, do we?
I think if it's over 10,000, we'll need to have multiple estimates,
which
we'd want to have anyways.
Yeah, and I'm hoping tomorrow I'll have a better idea of what that will look like.
But in the meantime, we have the ambulances with heaters.
Yeah, so one of the reasons why the heat upstairs seems to be working almost too good, and the downstairs isn't working enough, which is where the ambulances obviously are. We have to maintain a certain temperature based on the medications that are in there, and that's a state kind of a law, actually, based on the protocol.
Yeah.
So we currently are using like space heaters in the back of the truck, which not ideal, but it's the easiest. It was the quickest way to maintain the temperature in the back of those trucks of the medication.
So that whole bay is out.
It's working.
That first
just,
bay?
It's basically on consistently to maintain a temperature in the mid-60s.
I see.
think it's just a product of it. It's just been added on to it. So some of the lines are a little bit wonky, and we just need to figure out where that stuff is.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
We move on to the building department.
Hey. So the month of December was a little busy. We had 50 permits pulled. And then I've been working on making it easier to identify what we've been getting. So up till recently, anything like water heaters, generators, all that stuff is all kind of falling under HVAC mechanical, because that's the only thing we've had is mechanical.
Yep.
So I've gotten access so that I can actually write permits. So I've made permits for sidings, windows, gas fireplaces, propane tanks, wood fireplaces, water heaters, and I've got a separate mechanical to do so, and they're all filled out with RSAs and things that apply to those specific permits.
Great. So that'll just make things a little more efficient.
Yeah, and we'll be able to track better what is actually going on instead of having the 600 HVAC mechanical,
yep,
you know, pulled at the end of the year. It'll be more separated out what they actually were.
Excellent.
How many building permits for homes?
One new building permit was left.
How's things looking on the code enforcement side?
It hasn't been too bad.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Any other questions? How about solid waste?
I got it right here. Last month we recycled 102 tons of solid waste. Previous month was, in the previous year, at the same time, 105 tons. 29 tons of recyclables. And the revenue so far this year to date is about two-thirds of what it was last year, $64,476 versus $90,000 from last year. So either we're shipping less product or the market for this stuff is falling apart.
All right, any questions for the recycling? No? yeah.
Because Chief has quite a bit, and Ron and Stantec are here to discuss about this. Do we want to let them know first?
Yeah. Was there anything with the budget committee?
We have a meeting Wednesday.
Okay.
Or a public hearing. Okay, a very public hearing for school in town.
As far as the planning board goes, they did go over some different things. I can't remember exactly what they were, but it was actually a pretty cool meeting to be a part of, so I enjoyed going to it last week. So we're going to skip over you still, and we'll go to Ron for conservation.
What I wanted to introduce was the idea of having the old town dump perhaps tested. The EPA has given Southern New Hampshire Services, Planning Services, a lump of money for brownfield projects. Brownfield projects being issues like possibly an old dump we might have.
Yep.
Okay. Hearing that, I went, okay, wonderful. Let me see if the folks in Candia, BOS, Board of Selectmen, would be interested in talking with Southern New Hampshire Planning Services to consider having the old dump tested. They will pay for that. They pay all for all of the testing. Once the testing's done, and I believe they also cover the cost of planning of the mitigation, planning of the not performing the mitigation, but the planning of the mitigation. additional funds, other grants, may be available, not guaranteed to be available, but may be available for mitigation purposes. So that would be the question mark of, okay, we're not going to be guaranteed the cost of mitigation is covered, but there's a good chance from what I was told, there's always grants available for projects like that, usually. But there's no guarantee you get it. So I'm proposing, instead of wondering what the condition of the soil on the old dump holds, doesn't hold, you know, kicking the can down the road for eternity, and because we got that river right there, okay, that wraps right around it, if there is something in that soil, it's carrying it to other people's lands. So I'm proposing that the Board of Selectmen consider having a meeting, informal meeting to beginning, okay? Just an informal meeting with New Hampshire Planning, Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission to get more information directly from them regarding this brownfield projects and how it would all play out, right? And see if you're interested in actually pursuing getting it tested, and if there are issues showing up, having it mitigated. There's one requirement of these projects. Once the land has been recovered, it must be reused. It has to be repurposed. It can't just sit idle. It must be, well, it can sit idle. I'll take that back. My apologies. It must be repurposed. And I'm proposing that if it is mitigated, that the Board of Selectmen, the Town of Candia, turns that lot into conservation land, which would give a nice, large, consecutive chunk of land, because the north side of the dump is conservation land, the south side of the dump on the other side of New Boston Road is conservation land. There's a sliver on the east side that wraps around the dump that is conservation, and it's basically surrounded by conservation. It would be wonderful to add that to it after the mitigation is completed.
Oh, what's there to mitigate? We've had that property tested every year for the last 18 years.
And I was not aware of this.
Yeah, they stopped last year. Remember the wells they were testing? They stopped testing the wells
last year. I noticed that there are pipes in the ground, wells, as you would call them, right?
So there's no mitigation. We're using that property now for conservation land because nothing's been done to it. So, I mean, we've accomplished all the goals you've just set out.
Well, this is good to hear. For me, it's good to hear. Are we positive there are no issues on the land?
I think we have somebody from Stantec who can speak with authority.
I might be able to help give some background. My name is David Allwine. I'm the project manager, actually, for the environmental monitoring that's been going on at the landfill for, the last 10, 15 years. So I've got a little bit of idea about what has been going on. So somewhere around 10 years ago, we were approached by the town about wanting to do something with the ash that was there. And that led into a process that eventually included testing of the landfill material, the ash, which we determined to be about 35 to 4,000 cubic yards of ash that are there. And what was decided and what was agreed upon by the DES, New Hampshire DES, was that the ash would be capped. So the ash was regraded to a better topo, and it was capped with a low permeability soil cap. And since then, site has been monitored under a groundwater management permit issued by the DES. So that you saw the pipes out there, you probably saw the monitoring wells that are actually sampled. Originally, they were sampled every year. But the BOS at the time was able to convince the ES to change that to every other year. So I'd have to go back and think. I think the last time we sampled was in 2024.
Yes.
So we may actually be sampling again this year in 2026. So the bottom line is the sampling is being done under solid waste rules. And for all closed landfills, they require a minimum of 30 years of monitoring. But if there's contaminants that are continued to be found after the 30-year period, monitoring has to continue beyond 30 years. And there are groundwater impacts that we have found in there. Not huge impacts, but there are some arsenic, there's some manganese, and there's PFAS in some of the wells. And these are very common New Hampshire landfill contaminants that we find. I monitor a lot of landfills. These are not unusual. We also collect a surface water sample from the river down where it crosses under New Boston Road. That has not really shown anything significant. So whether that's from dilution or it's just being attenuated some other way, I don't know. But it might be, but it just might not be leaching at a high enough concentration that it's, you know, that's causing an issue, at least currently. And we also, just so you know, also sample the Sarah residents next door. That was started at some point just because they had some concerns. So it has actually been monitored, and it's continuing to be monitored as we go. I've also done quite a bit of brownfield work myself, so I might be able to comment a little bit on that. The thing about brownfields, and I know that Southern New Hampshire got that assessment grant. Yeah. So that grant will be able to pay for assessment activities for properties which have been determined to be eligible. So what makes a property eligible? There's a number of things that go into that. One of them being typically that the person wanting to do the assessment generally cannot have contributed to the contamination at the site. So if you had somebody, say, who had a gas station, and he had a release, his tanks leaked, and he had to clean that up, he would not be able to get approval for that site because he was the one basically who contaminated it. But if somebody else wanted to come in and buy the property and redevelop it in some way, they might be able to get the site approved because they would not be able, because they were not responsible for contamination. In the case of the landfill, and you know, I don't want to say this is absolute because I do agree, if you want to go forward talking with the Southern New Hampshire people, but also talking with the DES Brownfields coordinator would be a good idea. In this case, what I think they would say is that because the contamination is likely due to the fact that this is a landfill that was operated by the town for so many years, the town itself would not be eligible to get those funds to do an assessment.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's not good.
And if you wanted to, if you wanted to carry it forward and pursue some kind of cleanup grant, and there are brownfield cleanup grants, the same thing would apply. You, as the town, being the contributor to the contamination, would not probably be eligible to get the money. So, I mean, you could certainly talk with them, and I'm not saying that there's nothing that could be done, but I think you would definitely want to talk both with DES and with Southern New Hampshire to see if it's even worth going beyond that.
Well, you say there is some contaminants.
Yes, there are.
Okay, so knowing there are some contaminants, if it was funded, would the board be interested in pursuing, identifying further what remediation, a remediation plan?
I wouldn't support poking that bear.
I wanted a solar garden there, but I don't know how that's going
to... I mean,
we did look at disposal back when we capped it, and the cost between hauling all that ash off and capping it on site, believe me, was a significant difference. I mean, it's probably literally hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's well, expensive.
That was a big, that was in the back of my head, my biggest concern was I didn't want to be costing the town. All right, raising the rate of taxes, okay, on the town.
Big can of worms.
I didn't want to get involved.
Wednesday night hearing.
We appreciate your interest, Ron, and your passion, but, you know.
I appreciate your proactive approach as well. That's
thank you. I'm sorry to take your time. No,
thanks for coming here first, though.
That's right. I'm so glad you are here. That was a wealth of information.
Well, you can thank Amy for that. She brought me into the loop, and I thought, it might make sense for me to come and
definitely,
be available.
Definitely appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we've made it through that. We're going to go back to the police department.
No problem.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. It was nice to meet you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Well, we had a pretty busy month for December, believe it or not. No Christmas things, but they didn't.
That was one of the things that crossed my mind.
We're full staff. We've still got one open vacancy for the part-timers. I'll look to filling that probably this year.
Hold on one second. Could I have you guys, if you have a sidebar back there, could you just take it out in the hallway, please?
Yes,
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, shut up. Sorry.
As far as the training highlights go, we completed all our training for 2025. So we're up to speed on all that and starting all over again this year. We're continuing with the accreditation process. This year will be a big focus on the policies and getting through those. So now that we're full staffed, that's like my goal to push for this year to get us there. Stratum, they're accredited through the New Hampshire State Academy. So they're going to be a big department that we reach out to kind of mirror their policies and procedures.
Excellent. Is that pretty recent as well?
Yeah.
With Stratum?
I think them and Bo. Bo just came online not too long ago.
Excellent.
A lot of it is having the policy, showing proof the policy is being met. Lieutenant has been intricate in taking like these meetings and learning this stuff, so it's really helpful pushing that. It's just we need. Right, writing policies takes a whole different focus. While I'm on personnel, I just want to highlight, everybody knows the CAC and what they do. Have you guys heard of Beer for Bucks, that process?
The CAC?
Yep.
Yeah, the CAC does it in October. So the cool part about this is they do it Blue for Bucks now, but this year Candia PD joined in on it. Chris, our admin, she was the team captain. We ended up raising $1,600 for the CAC, which was pretty cool.
Jack, can you tell me what the CAC is?
Child Advocacy
Center. So essentially what happens is if we have a victim in a case, they're under the age of 18, we'll go there and they have forensic interviewers that can help interview that victim and not re-traumatize them, right? Police, we're good at certain things, but we don't have PhDs and stuff like that on that end.
Okay.
So we really rely on their help, but the CAC is all they're
501c.
So, like, they really rely on, donations and these things. So they came up with this years ago back, 2019. And what it was is a lot of police departments didn't allow beards, right? So the guy would get on there.
Did you think he said beer?
I knew you did. You were excited about that.
Although that'd be a pretty
cool
fundraiser.
You're a little too happy about that.
A lot of money for that. So... Over the years, because of the way the policies have changed and, with police departments allowing beards and allowing tattoos, they kind of had to think of some different things, but they still keep it alive. So I was pretty impressed to see my officers jump on it, and I'm going to write them up each for a letter of merit for it.
Oh, good.
For Maureen, I got like a challenge coin for their participation. Officer Grenier raised $625 of that $1,600, so he was the high one.
Yeah.
He had flyers around town at the pizza shop with him in a suit, and that was on him. Like, and I thought that was really cool that they stepped up to do that. Officer Norris, Officer Schaefer, they were all involved. Officer Fisher was involved. Officer Denny was involved in that. So I'm hoping next year we have like a bigger following. Mm-hmm. We kind of jumped in on the tail end, but I just wanted to highlight that's, you know, great stuff to do. But if you want to take a look at the flyer and what they're about.
Do you guys have like a Facebook page that you can?
They do.
Yeah. So Chris,
I didn't know. I would have.
Right. When Chris set it up, they get a link and they can put it on Instagram, X, all those things, and then people can go on there and pick the officer that they want to like vote for, and that's how it works. It shows all the departments in Rockingham County that are doing it. So I was pretty proud to see them take that
initiative.
The director of CAC approached me on a chief's meeting last month, and she was like, "This is so awesome," and gave me the challenge cards again. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Excellent.
You know, with all the snow we have, again, I harp on this, the safety reminder with Jessica's Law, known as negligent driving. I keep, a snowstorm happens, I see it, and it just kind of, I've seen what ice can do to people when it flies off a car, hits their windshield, and goes through and hurts the driver. It can kill people, right? That's the whole thing of Jessica. So I just want to make it abundantly clear out there, if it snows, your car needs to be completely cleaned off. That doesn't mean leave a little bit of it on the roof and let it fly off. If an officer sees that, it's a $310 fine.
Wow.
So I just wanted to highlight that. There's, examples. We've seen people with it like 3 feet high where they're looking out little portholes in their windshield, right?
Yeah, I'm curious how the school buses get it off.
Like, so a lot of bigger, the school buses and like trucks, they have a, it's like a big snow broom they drive under.
And
it kicks it off. Right. A little bit of like, that light thin, like we're not going, oh, we got you.
Well, I was curious that ice that we had last week.
Because it was horrible to get that out.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. Horrible.
But that ice formed throughout the day as well.
Yeah. If you have any like anything like over like a, like an inch on there, like get it off.
Yeah.
You know, at least by if you get it off right after the snowstorm's done, any warming up, right, it's gonna melt right off and come off the vehicle. A little piece of sheath isn't going to do much, but I've seen chunks come off vehicles and break windows. So just wanted to highlight that, make sure people know about that. For the month of December, we had 10 arrests. We had 4 animal control incidents. 1 was a loose dog and 3 wildlife calls. It's probably been one of the lowest months that we've dealt with that. The 10 arrests, those skyrocketed on us. So it's just
that's a sign of
holiday parties.
Just the amount of patrol you're able to.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to come down to. Now that we're 24 hours and we have a candy a car rolling 24 hours, this is what they're stumbling into as they do their job and actively patrol. We had 773 dispatch calls and self-initiated calls. We had 36 incident reports. Like I said, 11 arrests. Motor vehicle stops, you're seeing our number go up. So we had 147 motor vehicle stops. Again, we like to educate the driver over ticketing, and we look at a couple factors when we stop somebody, right? We look at their background. We look at if they're constantly getting in trouble for the same thing. That's what reigns ticket, no ticket, a talking to. Sometimes the driver's demeanor, believe it or not, can talk them into that, right? I've had everybody be very colorful for me, from very nice, right? Just things to think about. We had a lot of accidents helping them out on the highway. I feel really bad for one of the officers. It was on Saturday when that first snowstorm came through. He called me in a panic. He's like, I got all these cars. It was when 12 of them were off the road and state police wasn't here yet. I'm like, take one at a time. You'll get through it. State police are great. They come out, you know, and they help. But we help them just as much as they help us. So.
Aren't they short-staffed also?
Yeah, everybody, you know, everybody around the place feels it. You know, and you got to figure that vortex that we all call it between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
I even, when the officers have downtime and there's not a lot, they'll go out there and they'll enforce speed and different things out there as well. So we're trying to help state police maintain mm-hmm. that area because vehicles go very fast through there. And I think that's a lot of the contribution you're seeing to these type of accidents and not leaving enough space. 12 car pileup, it's because one guy was right after the mm-hmm. other and then that guy yeah. hit and mm-hmm. they all sandwich in, right? Anything over the over 65 miles an hour, give yourself another second of space. So anything that goes 10, give another second of space. I see it all the time, and people like to be all close within a car. You should be back like 3 or 4 car lengths, easy, going 65 miles an hour, not one. You won't have time to react to that. The building checks, we're always out. That's part of proactive policing. So when people call in and they say, hey, I'm going on vacation, we're checking on their houses for them. They'll get out and do walks and keeps the officer all nice and wide-eyed and bushy-tailed in the middle of 2 at night when they can walk around. That's about it for the police department and our stats. Any questions on any of that? And now I'm going to kind of go in over vehicles and all the memos that I gave you. First one I want to start with is the ACO vehicle. That car has been sitting there it's got 144,000. I looked at Copart to take it. Mm-hmm. They were going to offer us 600. Turnkey has offered 800 for it. As is, they'll take it and then they'll remove the candy of stickers. There's nothing on that car that is salvageable for us that we can use for any of the other cruisers. That's kind of how it was built. So with the board's permission, I would like to move to get rid of that this week. I have him ready to come pick it up Wednesday.
To the highest bidder. Whoever's going to offer the $800.
You need a motion?
You need a motion?
I will. I also asked around, too, to see, because I know there are people that buy them and looked at that, but no one wants to touch it because it's just it's an older car.
Yes, please.
I move we authorize Chief Chaplin to dispose of the animal control officer car.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Pat.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next memorandum. As you know, we're a part of the 287G program. And we became operational in the end of November. During this, when we became operational, meaning that the officers have had their training and they've helped process an arrest, makes us operational. So there was a stipend that was available up to October 31st, but me and Chris, my admin, we put in for it and we were granted it. So it is coming. The one you're going to look at is the award for the task force model, because that's what we do. I added the packets with it, so guys, if you have any question in the MOA that we have, right?
Okay.
So the total that we're getting for the stipend is $115,015. What it stems down to is it gives us $100,000 for transportation, a vehicle, because they're offering another vehicle, and the security equipment that accompanies that vehicle. The $15,000 that you see, that's for equipment for those officers. So if we need tasers, if we need body armor, things like that, that's what that other part of the money's for. It's very intricate to transportation for the $100,000 and the $15,000. It's actually $7,500 for each officer that's on it. We have 2 officers on it, $15,000. But that helps us, right? So... we got granted it. I got the email saying we've got granted it. It gets wired in. We did all that with Amy and finance, and we're just waiting for them to wire it over. It should be here either very soon within this week to the beginning of February.
That's amazing.
You got this grant?
Yes, me and Chris, we worked for it.
That is amazing.
If you look,
good for you, right.
If you look at the flyer for the task force model, it was on the bottom. And when I sat down in one of the meetings, they were telling us about this, and I didn't think we were going to be operational by October to get it. The thing is that not a lot of agencies are on this, and I figured strike while we can, right? So,
how many in Rockingham County?
So right now there's in Rockingham County, New Hampshire State Police is on it, Rockingham Sheriff's Department's on it, Auburn is in their pending phase, so they applied for it, but they're waiting for approval. And we're on it, and then there's a couple towns up north that are on it. When you go to the 287G site there on that flyer, you can see which ones in New Hampshire are on it.
Excellent. So we're basically the only town in Rockingham County.
In Rockingham County, we're the only police department currently on it right now.
Excellent.
So eventually these funds will, obviously go out. We don't pay them back. This is a one-time.
There's no matching or anything like that.
No matching. This is a one-time.
Wow, that's
awesome.
Deal. Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you. As long as I adhere to what it's for, right? I can't, put it into other things. But
vacation.
That's
great.
What I would like here is a motion to accept this once it comes in. That way we have it. And
you have the model language for the motion on one of these documents.
Did that for the next one. I did not do that for this one.
I'll make a motion. Can we use these?
Yeah, that's why I put the numbers on there. But that's the total amount.
I'll make a motion to accept the following funds. Is that what you want? Accept the funds? $100,000 for the purchase of a police vehicle with safety equipment, $15,000 for police equipment, and a $15,000 wiring processing fee.
$15.
I'm sorry, $15. I was trying to get vacation money in there, okay? I think that's all you need.
Yeah, just the total, it's $100,000.
Okay, totally $115,015.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
I think a big congratulations for getting that grant. That is
all in favor?
Stuff. So
Boyd.
Pat.
Good job.
Yes, very good job.
Thank you. Pretty happy when that came in.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. I'm almost done.
That's okay.
All right. So with that coming in, now this next memo is so that I can spend those funds on those items. So what I did here is I drafted this up to show what would be spent out of those funds for the vehicle, the safety equipment, and the encumbered vehicle from last year, for last year's budget that we took care of. So for another Chevy Tahoe, it's going to be $54,997. For its safety equipment that's going to go on that vehicle, it totals $18,286.20. That vehicle will need a new radio in it, which I was able to get that knocked down to $4,851.30. And then this is so I don't have to touch the detail fund for the encumbered vehicle.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the police equipment from this and let that fund build so we can continue to pull police cruisers and their full-out equipment out of the detail fund for detail. That vehicle's outfit will cost $21,145. They're all done through Global. The total award of the stipends to use on these items would be $99,279.50. I'll deal with the equipment after throughout the year there, because I do have some body armor that I have to get the officers because they're expired and things like that. So this is just for those items. So for that, what I did is I kind of helped and I put voting language there for you. If you accept that, then I'll be in business when it comes.
Another motion?
Yes, please.
Okay, I vote to you. I make a motion to use the awarded stipend funds and authorize their use for the purchase of a 2025 Chevy Tahoe in the amount of $54,997. Police safety equipment in the amount of $18,286.20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
An APX 6500 mobile rate radio in the amount of $4,851.30, and police safety equipment for an already encumbered vehicle in the amount of $21,145 for a total of $99,279.50. That's the motion.
Second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Pat. Now, one, I did have one question for you. Get the difference in the amount of money to upfit the vehicle is, you get about a $3,000 difference.
Yep.
What is that difference?
The difference there is it's the difference between a low pro and a normal outfitted cruiser that runs the road for patrol.
Okay.
So the other, the 18,000 Tahoe is going to be, it's not going to have a light bar on. It's going to be low pro. That one will not have a cage in it, but the other one is different than $3,000.
Any decaling on it or anything?
It will have decaling. Okay. It'll all be decaled. The low pro one, we call that low pro when it has the lights and the windshield and all around it. That will be ghost lettered like mine.
Okay.
And then the other one will have subdued lettering on it because I'm not going with the painted cars anymore. One, they're hard to get rid of when they're painted. Two, the resale value would be way better when you take off the stickers. So it will have a subdued gray, just like they're lettered now, and you'll see that. When it will look nice. So that's kind of the idea behind keeping it one color.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to remove the stickers, put the vehicle up for sale, or repurpose it around town. So that's why.
Terrific. All makes sense.
Isn't there some plan to buy a Chevy Tahoe this year?
This is the second one.
Yeah,
this will be the second one.
Yeah, so I'll get into the vehicles here because this is probably going to affect the fire department. So we currently have a black
Tahoe.
I drive it already. I'm trying not to take.
Is this in our packet or?
No. I'm, okay. Yeah, you have the monthly.
It's all good information. You're not taking up time.
All right. So car three is the black cruiser we have out there. It's a 2017. It's the unmarked one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a low pro one. That one has no cage because it's been an admin car. Mm-hmm. But because I'm getting these two vehicles, my fleet will be at six, which is operable for me to be able to have enough of the patrol cars going out and the admin cars, and I can maintain that fleet nice and easy. So I'll have a seventh car. So the black cruiser, the one that's all black, I think the fire department, we were kind of talking that they could use that as a command vehicle because it's not much outfitting it's going to need. It doesn't have a cage. It has a Santina box in the back. The only thing they have to do is swap out the blue side for red because it has blue and red lights in it. I can let Chief Kelly talk onto that. We talked through it. I have no problem with that. I think it would be helpful for them.
They already have a command vehicle, don't they?
So that's not a command vehicle. The squad, the white one.
Well, what is it?
So that's utilized by the day crew, just doing stuff so they don't have to take the $500,000 ambulance out or the engine to do, say, Knox boxes. So that's something we do. We drive around town and they check Knox boxes. When the chief asked about this last week, it was something that when I talked to some of the officers about sort of planning and stuff like that, this was not something that was on our initial plan anyways, at least in the next year. But something on the docket to work on was a command vehicle. We are the only town that does not have a command vehicle. So what I mean by command is pretty much a mobile command post. And I think once we get to the emergency management stuff, it'll make a little more sense. There's a lot of resources that the fire department brings. The engine's got all these tools and all that stuff, but all like the brains and like the computers and the plans and the maps and all that stuff has nowhere to live right now. So it's currently just sitting at the station. This would be something that would be in that vehicle, and then the officers of the department, the people that would be running an incident, would be the ones to utilize that. So.
That all makes sense.
It's the fact that it's not two-tone colors makes it a little bit easier. It's really just switching out a couple of lights, which the people that we utilized previously, they kind of do a one-for-one exchange with us. Like, hey, we'll take the blue ones and we'll give you the red one sort of deal.
Do we need a motion for this, or do we need to wait?
This is more discussion.
Until it's,
I mean, the vehicle's not going anywhere.
Official.
It will be. I will have, once we get these vehicles, because they're going to take time to outfit, to get, we'll have seven cruisers sitting there. So, you know, that to me is a little high, and I would like to move it into the town to manage somewhere.
Okay.
So that's why I looked at it like that. But this isn't like those cars are going to be here tomorrow and then we're just going to be sitting there.
Right.
It takes time. We have to go get the cars. The cars have to go to outfitting, and then they come back, and then they're integrated patrol. I probably wouldn't even see them until March or May by the time they're done.
So we can wait for Brian on this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And, you know, I just it's something that we wait wanted to Brian, talk about and put forward. Just make sure you guys...
Our fleet of police vehicles used to be just five vehicles. We try to replace one every year. So we're up to seven now?
Well, if we don't get rid of that black car, we'll have seven.
Okay.
If I purpose it somewhere else or we sell it, we'll have six.
Okay.
And part of the reason that I want you to understand with that is that now we're running 24 hours. We have seven officers. So what happens is you have a day shift officer. You have another officer that runs 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So we'll call them the midnight officer. Then there's another officer that tops on top of that that goes from 1 to 1. That's your like swing shift officer.
Okay.
So they help augment that day shift and that midnight shift with calls, so they're going two to a call. They're not out there by themselves in the dark, you know. So those three police cruisers help that. Well, I have my operational car, which goes to things, so there you go. And then lieutenant's vehicle.
Okay.
And then we have a detail vehicle. So that car goes out to details,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not being, because on a detail, when they're sitting there with their lights, they're sitting there running, they're having engine time. So generally you take your, when all of them are operational, but your lower one, right, the one that's beat up probably more, and you make that the detail car, because that's the one that can handle kind of being out there. It's not operational as far as the units on the street. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When they're pushing for calls for service and they're going out, you want them to be in the best vehicle they can be in.
Yeah, okay.
Sitting there with some blue lights while, you know, people cut down tree limbs and work on wires and things like that, that's what the other cars are for. So that's the purpose of the six cars. They all have a job. And that's how, with this, I'll be able to probably go the next 2 years or so before I have to even dip into the detail fund. It allows us to build that to get the next cruiser when they start wearing out.
Sounds good.
Good.
So now we are on to emergency management.
That's you.
Who would like to kick that off?
I know. Do you want to kick that
off? No,
you
can
kick it off. Oh, because I get that. All right. I think you guys have copies of this.
Yes.
Okay. So as you know, Bob Panett retired from the emergency management position and moved to Maine, right? That was last month. Myself, Chief Shevlin, and Amy have been talking about sort of what emergency management looks like moving forward. And what we'd like to propose, and Chief Shevlin and I are on board with this, is that he and I would share the duties of the emergency management position. Most municipalities, the fire department does the emergency management, since we're going to be the ones at the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Also by RSA, the fire department or the fire chief has authority over an emergency scene. So it sort of made sense that we would just do it together. This was just a really kind of, I know there's a lot on here, but it's a quick kind of proposal of what that could look like. The fire department and the fire chief would maintain the emergency management director, and then the police chief would be the deputy director. And since we have a chain of command in both organizations, in the event that one of us is not there, our second in command, etc., could fulfill that role. We already have several people on the department that utilize FEMA functions, like applying for grants and filling out all the FEMA paperwork. As you know, we've got a ton of grants through there, so that was kind of the thought process behind that versus having a separate person from outside the town basically doing it. The other thing that Amy and I talked about briefly today was $4,000?
For the stipends.
So the FEMA like repays that when we utilize it for an incident. So the thought was we could split that stipend that's in there into the fire department and the police department. So if the police department's utilizing admin time to work on an EM issue, it would be reimbursed to that line. So just more for tracking purposes,
it
I guess.
Make it easier to track for FEMA when they're wanting to reimburse for admin.
Who got the admin before for the grants that we got from FEMA?
That would have been Bob.
Well, nobody got, so Bob had the stipend, but then we...
had a stipend?
Yeah, Bob Pannett does emergency management. Right. Director stipend. So what, that's what we're talking about, is splitting the stipend in half, so one half would be on the PD side and one half would be on the fire department side, so that when we're tracking the administrative hours for any EM issues, it would be easier to track for FEMA reimbursement and...
There's two ways to look at this, too. Some, like I think Nottingham, I think the police chief is the director out there. And it's not a matter of, like, I don't mind having it. Chief Kelly, I know, don't mind having it. It's the succession that you want. Because if I'm dealing with a police function, I can't pull away from that to be the EM director. So it would be better if Chief Kelly came to the scene and was the EM director while I managed the police issue. Does that make sense? Vice versa. If it's a big fire issue and a big fire call, and it's we're not, you know, like a five alarm, you know.
Don't put that on me.
Yeah.
One of these big buildings, right? Like, it would be more helpful to him that he can run his apparatus, control his guys, and I can help him with what he needs from the EM side. That's what we were looking at when we were talking through this, going, you need the succession, not just one person. Or you bring somebody from the outside, like Bob Pennett was, and they can function both ways. But to put it on one chief, I think it's a lot.
I think the partnership is a great idea, but Bob did not get a stipend.
He didn't?
If he worked on something, was
there? He never got a stipend.
Well, if he had to work on something,
he never got a stipend.
Okay.
I didn't think he did.
Oh. And I don't think either of us were looking for a stipend. I think it was more for the end.
Oh, no, I like the partnership. I like the partnership.
I'm looking at more of this role you guys are trying to
do. Yeah, I think that part's a good idea. I don't
know. If we need something for EM, it will come out of the EM budget, you know, like it did for Bob, but...
Oh, he did have a budget.
Yeah. He didn't get a stipend, though. He never charged for anything.
Did we ever have any...
Well, I think you guys are both well-qualified for it. And to be able to share the responsibility of it, depending on what the emergency is a perfect way to go.
So nice job. What do you need from this board tonight?
This is a pretty good...
this would be about if you're going to make him the director and me the deputy on it, then that's what we do, and we start doing what we need to out of this.
So we need a motion to appoint Chief Kelly as the director and Chief Shevel as the deputy director.
I move we appoint Chief Kelly the director of the emergency management. What would you call it?
Just emergency management director, and then Emergency Management Deputy Director.
And Chief Sheffield is the Emergency Management Deputy Director, effective immediately.
Get a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
That doesn't come with any kind of papers.
It's stuff we're already doing anyway.
It's stuff we already do.
I appreciate your effort to formalize these relationships everybody knows what the responsibilities are.
That's the important part.
That's the whole idea. And so your successor will come in and follow the same procedure and so will yours. Good.
Do we have the plan documented somewhere? Where would it be documented?
I can send you this in a PDF if you want.
Mm-hmm. Just so it's on record.
And it will just go with the emergency management plan.
Isn't there
plan?
A binder in there that has
This will just be part of the notes for the minutes.
Right.
So it's just kind of
and then
like,
to go on the binder, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you'll make up a formal document that follows this outline.
That is a formal document.
That is.
Yeah, I can just take it off the memo.
Yeah.
Like the memo format.
Okay.
Anything else?
Good cooperation.
No, that was one of the things with that car was basically we'd still be able to utilize it.
Yeah. So
that's why I said like when we got to emergency manager it make a little more sense, but
sounds good.
That's it.
Wow.
I know I threw a lot. I threw a lot today. My head's been smoking all week, so
we've all been building up. All right, next thing on the agenda is the mileage reimbursement rate.
Are we doing the icing or not yet?
We already went over
that.
That was the whole thing.
So currently, the IRS is at 70 cents per mile, and they're increasing to 72.5 cents.
I move we increase the mileage reimbursement rate to 72.5 cents a mile, effective this year.
Get a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I don't think anybody uses it. Do they?
Okay. Oh,
they do. All in favor?
Steph.
Sit.
Boy.
Pat.
And the second piece on that memo, I snuck it in there, was from Donna Hetzel. She wanted an answer to that question for about senior dog license. They changed the amount.
For a senior to own a dog.
For a senior to license their dog.
Okay.
So the state recently increased the cost of a dog license for senior citizens by 25 cents.
Is that senior dogs?
$2 for the first dog, regular rate for additional dogs. Now the cost of the first dog is $2.25. Either the citizen pays the extra 25 cents per dog or the Department of Agriculture each year. Or the town picks up the cost. Last year, we issued 180 senior dog licenses. The town would pay $45 if we choose not to increase the amount charged to seniors.
I will make a motion not to increase. Those poor people are... We're nickel and dime at the
end. I agree.
Come on.
I just make a motion that the town cover the $45 or whatever. Not to increase.
The board second that?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
I'll second that one.
All in favor?
Steph.
So,
Boyd.
Pat.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank goodness. You know, things go on.
All right, so this is the. Do you want to explain this whole COLA thing?
I think Boyd would like to explain the whole
COLA
thing.
Oh, perfect.
The COLA?
Love for Boyd to do that.
Yes, this is how we're going to approach executing
it. We're
going to
administer it.
Yes, implementing it.
Well, as you know, we granted a 2.8% cost of living increase to our town and employees and stipend recipients. The question is, when do we start paying it? So you could be very cautious to not pay it until after the town budget is approved and pay it starting in April.
Right.
But that will deprive your employees of the cost of living raise for the first quarter of the year every year.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The other alternative is to automatically apply the cost of living raise to your payroll, regardless of what the effective the first pay period in January, and stand by that in the event we get a default budget. And you make that commitment to the employees every year that we're going to honor our agreement to pay you a cost of living raise. And if we can't convince the town to support our operating budget, we'll find it someplace else.
Do we know the value?
2.8%
I mean, 2.7, the monetary value.
But option one is our current practice, it says. I didn't think it was, but it is, I guess.
Option one. No, right
it says
now.
Current
I think we should
practice.
Retro it into January 1.
We pay it immediately now.
No, no, now we wait and pay retro once
okay.
the vote happens.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I recommend we start paying it on the first pay period in January every year instead of retroactively.
I
don't know the amounts this is going to be.
Is it like 75,000
or 500?
2.7.
2.7, I'm sorry. And
what's
payroll?
The payroll?
The total payroll?
For the year?
Yeah.
I don't have that figure.
500,000?
Yeah,
roughly. Right. So
and the only reason I'm asking is, I'm sure you all know, our budget this year, or for 2025, is horrible. I mean, it is not good at all, as you all know, from getting this. And this doesn't even have the encumbrances. I've never known this town to be this... have this little left over. I think we've done a good job giving them retirement, the employees' retirement. And I know a lot of these that we voted for, I think before we actually added the amounts up, and that's why we're stuck in this situation. Plus, my thought is I must know about this first.
Well, let's do one thing at a time.
Well,
what is it you want to talk
I guess about? I wouldn't know what my decision would be on this until we talk about the accounting error.
So you want to table this for right now?
I would prefer to. Is that okay?
I don't care.
Because this is
it's serious. Like 13,500 bucks.
Right.
For a year, I think
468.
For a year, it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's, we can find
well,
it.
Well, you want to get to that one?
Let's table this for right now and
okay.
move on to.
Ed.
So is this the warrant
did
article?
Did you read this? No. Did you read this? How much that is?
And we're viewing War Article 3.
He'll, Boyd, I guess, is going to go with that one.
Hang on, let me find it.
Do you want my copy, Boyd?
Yeah. Okay. I propose that, based on an erroneous accounting error on my part, I thought we had at one point $726,000 in addition to what we're required to maintain in our unassigned fund balance. I then proposed we transfer that $726,000, that surplus, to the capital reserve account to help fund this police station we plan on building someday. So, and the board passed that. We entered that as War Article 3 or 4, I'm not sure. Where it was going to show up. Well, then I looked at that and I said, boy, there's just something wrong about that. We don't have an extra $726,000. So I talked to Tammy Leaston with New Hampshire Municipal Association, and she helped me calculate the correct amount in the unassigned fund balance. And the error arose when I forgot to debit that account for the $500,000 we used to lower the property taxes when we met in November, okay? I had thought about this before we met in November, and I kind of sketched it out in my mind, but I forgot to debit the account for the $500,000, and that accounts for that huge discrepancy. The other remainder is a result of my failure to take into account some of the expenses that we're obligated to meet to pay the county. It's kind of complicated, but... Anyhow, the error's on me, and I have since discovered
okay. Everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
And
I've recommended to Amy that we revise that war article and come down from $726,000 to what we could actually afford, which is $113,468. It's kind of a big come down, but it's moving in the right direction. So I move we authorize the war article, as it's written here, number 5, and change it on the warrant.
Can we do that now, or do we have to wait for the Dilworth deliberative because the warrant articles were already due.
The due to the 14th.
14th of the petition.
No, that's petition, sorry, yeah.
But you can still change it before it goes in the deliberative session, yeah.
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Because I was told by the town moderator, no changes can be made, but.
Deliberative, you can.
That's great. Yeah, I was told by the moderator that any changes are to be made at the deliberative, but.
I'd rather change it here before it goes.
Before it goes on the ballot, yeah.
Okay, so we have permission from legal to change it here.
Mm-hmm, he knows about it. He's reviewed this whole list of, yes.
Okay. Perfect. So.
So we got a motion.
Which article number is it?
It was three. We're gonna have to renumber them because there are a few that have been added, but it's three on.
Okay.
I move the town approval of an amended warrant article to read as follows. As follows, to see if the town will raise and appropriate the sum of $113,468 to be added to the future capital improvements, capital reserve fund previously established. The sum to come from the unassigned fund balance, no amount to be raised from taxation.
So this keeps us 11.5%?
Exactly.
Yes.
Great.
Right on the number.
Great.
Is that a second?
Second.
Any more discussion?
You don't want to hear it. The mistake isn't it, but it's when we were doing this, I said we're cutting this too thin and
cutting what too thin?
That unreserved fund balance and giving that amount back for taxes, which was it was lovely to do. It's just we pay the piper somewhere.
Well, this is really extra. It's extra.
What's extra?
The 113,000.
Where'd it come from?
Taxation.
Taxation. Exactly.
We have the obligation to return money to the taxpayers.
But the money that was used to keep the tax rate down was also from taxation. So it's not like we're taking from anything and giving to anything. It's going right where it should go.
Right. And we gave it back to the taxpayers.
It's the wording. And I know DRA approves it. It's the wording that they say. It's not raised through taxation, which it was already raised through
once.
Taxation.
Yeah,
it's not going to be raised again through taxation.
It was already raised through future taxation.
And the $250,000 of it was.
Anyways,
school.
We get a motion and a second on that?
Yeah. We did. I seconded.
All in favor?
Steph.
Boy.
Sue.
Pat.
Thank you.
So then the warrant will be. Yeah, so we're zero.
Yes,
right. 400.
Boyd, is this someone? I think.
What would be 400? What are you talking about?
To go to the ballot. It'll have the new number and then approved or recommended for 00.
Which is what it was already.
Yeah.
It's
on the warrant.
Just a different
article, the voting on it. You know how it says recommended.
Oh, I'm sorry. I understand now. Thank you.
Is this something that the financial office should be going through these? So that she might have caught that? Would she have caught that mistake?
She doesn't have time to review math.
Boyd put it forward as a...
She doesn't have time to do the math?
No, to review to do the extra calculations. Boyd did the extra calculation to create that memo. She didn't create that warrant.
I don't know if that would help. I know when I write something.
Look, I'll ask anybody to help if I can warn this again.
No, it's not your fault. Everybody makes mistakes.
It's a $500,000 error.
I know. And I know how good you are at numbers and everything else. So
that's why I looked at it again.
Yeah.
Okay. I just say no if that article is adjusted.
Yeah, so then the warrant article 13, the amount was added in today before your copy said at the last possible minute. Today was the last possible minute. So article 13, the revolving fund balance was $216,692.32.
So we had an accurate fund balance.
Yeah, we had to wait till the last AP
okay.
to make sure we...
Do we need to revote on all of these again?
No, just the ones that there were changes to. So there were changes that we changed the amount on three, which you just voted on.
Yep.
Just maybe want to vote again on the actual amount for Article 13.
Well... Want me to read it?
Should these things
Do we need to read Article 13 out loud to get a vote on it again? Because now that it's got the accurate amount.
Oh, that's a...
That's the amount from today.
Okay,
after the
here, let me read that. I didn't see that. I moved the town... I want to rescind my last motion. But to see if the town will vote to... No, hold on.
No, this is a different... Thing. This is a whole different
thing. 13 is the ambulance. We just have an updated amount. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
I make a motion to amend Article 13 with the correct dollar amount. Okay. Of $216,692.32.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boy.
Pat.
Give that to me, that's yours. And then the budget committee votes tomorrow?
Wednesday. Thank you. And then 22 was added after the last budget. They wanted to go, they wanted to talk to council about adding a cemetery warrant article.
Oh, yeah.
So that one is new to this document.
Which one is that?
Article 22, the Cemetery Expendable Trust.
That's just establishing it.
Yes.
Okay. And the lawyer.
Yes. Yeah. We all, Mark, Beth, myself, and the attorney met.
So this is the cemetery, the trustees are the agents, not the selectmen. You know that, right?
That's what it says right here.
Sure. Okay. Because I thought all the other ones were the selectmen. But
somebody
aren't they all the selectmen?
Somebody want to read
agents?
Article 22?
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know enough about it here to have an informed decision.
Or any trust.
Okay. It says here that if they sell land, lots, that money would go into this fund. And the cemetery trustees would be agents to expend the fund instead of select board.
They let them have if they wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they're selling plots, it really has nothing to do with.
Yeah, sure. They'll have a public. They have to have a public
hearing, right?
Hearing.
Yeah, like
okay.
We do.
Or already said recommended by the select.
So, zero zero, right?
Mm-hmm. We haven't voted on it yet.
Yeah, it's brand new to. This document.
Can we get a vote on Article 22?
We just need a motion, right?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we include Article 22 stating to see if the town will vote to establish a cemetery expendable trust fund pursuant to RSA 31:19-A and RSA 289:2-A, allowing all future proceeds received from the sale of cemetery lots in Town of Candia cemeteries and any interest gained thereon for the maintenance of cemeteries, and further to name the cemetery trustees as agents to expend from this fund.
I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boyd.
Pat.
Would the budget committee have to vote on that one?
No.
No, but they'll like it.
But it's not like a money.
So the one at the bottom, what this is an interesting one.
Bottom where?
The bottom of the very last one. It doesn't have a number yet. It's a citizen's petition, but it's not this type. It's it only requires 10 signatures, and it goes through the town clerk. So she wrote that warrant article to change the designation of the road from regular to scenic. Yes.
Did she have her signatures or?
She has them, and Candace is looking at them. But this is the warrant article that she drafted based on the citizen's petition to change the road designation.
I think that's a good idea.
Courier Road from North Road to the Candy Town Line at the Deerfield Scenic Road. Is that the?
So how do you want us to do this?
I thought that you
the
would
other
have to
petition article we have right here in front
right.
of us.
These two are additional, but because tonight's the last night for you to vote before Wednesday, and then it has to go to the ballot and the deliberative session packet. Yeah.
Wednesday. So, yeah, this will go on whether
yes.
we vote for it or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just for you to review it.
Oh, good.
Wonderful.
Do you need
I'm
a
all
motion?
For it.
You don't need
yeah, I think, I mean,
So the sign, it has to go on the, it has to go on.
Yeah, it has to go on the ballot. Just for your purview.
Okay.
And then the two.
I'll make a motion to.
Are they already on here? Petitions?
I have not.
Okay.
Sue, did you wanna?
I will, is everybody done?
Yeah.
Okay. To see if the town will vote, I'll make a motion to designate Courier Road and Candy blah 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 as a scenic road in accordance to provisions RSA 231-157 and RSA 231-158. I haven't heard from any, we'll do it during discussion, sorry.
I'll second it.
Could I discuss this? Haven't heard from any residents on Courier Road. I don't know if they want it or they don't want it.
It's a petition.
Well, I signed it, so.
No, you can talk to the resident.
We got a resident.
Well, the petitioner, is it, is the name on there?
No, I.
There's no nothing.
Oh.
There's nothing.
That's odd.
Yeah, it doesn't have the signature.
There will be this, there will be this type of form, but it's just different. It requires less signatures and.
But we don't have the signatures.
No, she has the signatures. Candace is checking. Supervisor of the checklist is checking.
So basically, one of the residents on Courier Road came around to all the abutters, at least from what I understand. And said they wanted to make the road a scenic road so that the stone walls couldn't get moved necessarily and the trees and that sort of thing, so.
What are you thinking? I mean, I'm just asking as a resident, not.
I mean, I like it. I like the road the way it is. I don't want it to be changed.
That's why you moved there.
That's why, yeah, that's why I live on dirt road.
I want mine to be a scenic road too.
Me too.
Okay, so that's good. So that's one person. Is anybody else here live on? No. Okay, so I mean, I support putting it on. I guess it's going on anyway, so.
Do they?
I don't know if you want an official vote on it.
So I talked to Mike Courtney about it. He said that it goes on just like all of the others. It's just done differently with less signatures and just a little bit of a different procedure.
So just so it gets shown that it's supported by the selectmen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Steph?
Sue?
Warren?
Pat?
You second, right, Warren? Yeah.
Okay. What is this about? So that's it for warrant articles, correct?
Well, these two.
Except for these two petitions.
Citizen petition, whatever, warrant.
But they have no money, so we won't do it at the budget.
But this one doesn't have money either, but we vote on it here.
Well, it was just to say that you support it.
Yeah, we can vote on these, but the budget committee won't right now.
We don't vote on the citizen petition.
No, it was just for you to review.
It was just, yeah.
Just for you to see that.
You can put it in or not, it really doesn't matter.
So this is just one is specifying Keno games and the other one's specifying.
Games of chance.
Good thing the 4th of July is over, huh?
So we're all set with warrant articles.
Yes, those are done.
And what is this with minutes?
So I checked in with NHMA and they recommended that I check with our council and both got back to me saying that we are no longer required to keep paper minutes. So I wanted the board to have the opportunity to review both of their emails and can vote on it tonight or wait till Brian's back and discuss it. It's just something for you to think about. We need to save some paper and some ink and...
Yeah.
It's just not, it's, we don't have the room to keep saving all this paper.
They're online anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Why don't we just table it until Brian's back?
That's a great idea.
I know, next time he's going to come in and be like, what did you all do?
What happened?
Yeah.
Why don't we vote on getting a second and third Zoom camera while we're at it?
What?
Second and third what?
That's the opposite direction.
Okay, so can we go back to the COLA?
Oh, yes.
If our payroll is $500,000 a year, it's approximately $13,500. I think we can find that.
It's $500,000 a year? That's
Didn't
it?
Somebody say our payroll was $500,000?
It's gotta be.
Is it $500,000 a month?
It's gotta be more.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, no, it's
so
more
wait,
than
let me
that.
See.
I know what you make and
times.
I know.
Gotta be more.
So 500 a month.
And we can certainly revisit that with actual numbers.
Times.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. I feel more comfortable, but it's up to you guys.
Melissa just put together that memo at the end of the day.
All right, why don't we,
table that one? But yeah. When's our next meeting?
So we have the numbers.
We have to make a decision this month.
Do we have the? Isn't
should
it
we
right
get
on
accurate
the
numbers
the...
before we make a decision?
Each department's payroll.
So this wouldn't give me a total payroll.
No, you'd have to go through each.
Yeah.
So if the town
makes
us on a default, we're saying we won't honor a COLA? Mm-hmm.
You don't have to honor that.
Well, I mean, we vote to support the COLA.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
We do merit increases or whatever you want to call them anyways.
But the other is more of a contract when they get a raise that, I mean, you can't take that back or whatever. So that's more
is
of
COLA
a contract.
We don't have any contracts.
No, but to me it's more of a...
Well, if it goes to default, they don't get merit increases or COLA.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's terrible. Well,
how can they... Oh, because of the water.
Not that bad. Okay, so now we're down to policies.
Yes, which is just one singular policy at this point.
Okay, and that's what you emailed out last week?
No, do you not have it in there?
It's the sexual harassment?
No.
No?
You don't have the right to know policy in your...
I don't see that anywhere.
Let me see if I have any now.
Do you have a copy of it? Did I put them all in your pile? I guess it's not in there.
Can we do it next?
And I can email it all to you so you have time to review it before the meeting too.
Perfect.
We've been here long enough.
All right. As far as the calendar goes, Town Hall will be closed Monday, January 19th. In observance of Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
Next Board of Selectmen's meeting is scheduled for January 26th, 2026. And is there any public comment?
Are we under other?
Oh yeah, other. How about that? Well, we were under policies for others. Is there more than that for other?
Yeah,
okay.
Question. Somebody who works here had asked me about taking down trees over at the library, and I explained to him how with my budget I wanted to make sure I got the restrooms done and blah blah blah, several other things. And then all of a sudden I thought I had enough money, so I asked Steve to do it, and then all of a sudden he was told not to and somebody else was hired. I told the person who works for the farmer's market it probably won't get done before the last farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
But that I'd take next year, you know, I'd make sure it got done, but it probably wouldn't get done before that. And then someone, I don't know who, this is my question, who went ahead and did it anyway? You must know.
The board?
Well, the board voted on it.
Yeah.
What?
At that meeting prior to.
To clear up. It was like low-lying brush and little things.
No, I'm talking about taking big trees down.
Yeah, we voted on...
Not the big work that was just done. There was a smaller portion of work.
You found money in the budget to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Why they do that?
Because the board voted on it at the meeting prior to you making that decision.
I think you got that wrong.
When was the last farmer's market?
October.
Because Steve was
the September meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Steve was asked to do it. And he had set somebody else up in like that. But I don't know why it changed from him. He was going to get it done by Friday before farmer's market. I mean, it's like me telling him, you know, Candy wants her office painted, me hiring someone to do that. That's his department. I don't know who, you know what I mean, who's in charge of what's being done.
We voted on it as a board.
You voted on
okay.
it as a board.
All right. If you can bring it up, that would be great. But I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
I remember it was all discussed about
the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It would be a September meeting.
Steve was going to get it done a week before the farmer's market.
No, he was going to get it done by, he said by Friday. He had the guy already, who has a lift and a crane and everything else, already reserved. And then I don't know how he found out that he wasn't doing it.
I thought you told him that he wasn't doing it.
I said it couldn't be done before Farmer's Market, that it probably was not going to be done. And then an employee here didn't like that, and it was done anyway. So that, I guess I don't like that part of it. But you must have known about it.
Well, I know that they were told at the Farmer's Market, Melissa was told that it was going to get done.
Yeah, what Farmer's Market?
For the very last one. It was going to be done before that.
Who told her that?
I have no idea who told her that.
I've got written communication and it says just the opposite. So she didn't know about that, I guess.
All right.
We can review the minutes.
But yeah, we can. You don't have to waste time doing it now. But I mean, it seemed like somebody or more than one overstepped their bounds to, you know, I mean, I think we need to respect who does what at what time. That's it.
Do we have anything else?
That's it for me.
Get a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
I'll second. I'm in favor.
Pat.